1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. And last night, as you know, on Survivor, the software publisher, a guy named Michael Scuppin, or Scoopin, he was airlifted out of the latest Outback Survivor episode with severe burns. He kept his injuries a secret from his family. He said that except for some redness and minor scarring, he was completely healed, although he hasn't built a fire since then. In the episode, which was aired last night, he passed out, fell face first into a campfire he was tending. He was burned on his hands, his arms, and his face. And so there you go. We wanted to bring on the line on the Phil Hendry Show. We got Bob Green. Bob is a lot of things, a producer, a writer, creator of the what TV show, Bob, were you working on?
Phil, I was on the Season of Change. I was a soap opera executive producer for about 3 years.
Okay, and we also have you were with Top Line Productions. You're currently a production consultant and the author of two books on television, Channeling and the groundbreaking Remote Access. Bob, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
So, Survivor, this is a great show, and yet last night we saw somebody get injured on the program, and I guess that's the kind of thing that happens on a TV show that you don't want to have happen, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the extent of what we're talking about, but I will tell you that Survivor, Phil, has saved CBS.
Your cell phone or something's kind of...
I'm sorry, let me move to a... Can you close the door, please? Is that better, Phil?
Yeah.
As I was saying, Survivor is a great show. It saved the Columbia Broadcasting System. It's the game show of the future. I think on a personal level, it saved Leslie Moonbeam. I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name, and I've written two books on television. I can't...
Leslie Moonves, or...
It's spelled M-O-O-N-V-E-S, and it's either Moonves or Moonves. But in any event, he was on his way to the ash heap when they finally hit with this show. So he has obviously had his rear end pulled out. And speaking of falling into a fire, Leslie Moonves was about to have his bare rear end dropped into a fire if this show didn't hit. So you got to really hand it to CBS and to the producers of Survivor. It's a tremendous show. It's a groundbreaking show. It's extremely entertaining. It obviously is giving Friends a huge run for its money. And the production cost on that show, infinitely lower than the production cost on Friends, which is paying the individual actors somewhere in the neighborhood of $600,000 an episode.
Let me get back to what we're talking about here, though. Last night, there was a man burned in this episode of Survivor. There was possibly, we don't know for sure, possibly a camera crew that was there. Apparently, in fact, the host of the show, Jeff Probst, said that there was a camera crew there, and yet they're filming and they're not doing anything. You see what I'm saying?
Well, let me tell you, there's always a camera crew around, especially at a show like that. There is always a crew that is there to take pictures.
Yeah, all right, so if there's a camera crew there and this man falls into a fire... is there no obligation to help the burn victim first and shoot the show second?
So that's a good point, but this program, as I said, has saved CBS. That's number one. Also, I don't know if you know anything about burn victims, but you've got a window before the infection sets in and before shock sets in, and you want to get as many...
Before what sets in?
Before shock is to set in. So I'm giving you a hypothetical. The man last night, Michael, he falls into the fire. The cameraman is filming this. He knows that it's going to be a certain amount of time before this man goes into shock. Let's get the shot. Let's get as much of the shot as we can. Maybe someone else has seen it, and they'll come and help him. He's laying in the fire. Yes, he's laying there for a while. Yes, he's cooking for a little, for a period that you don't want to see a human being laying in a fire.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could be a cameraman on a TV show.
No, you got to understand that Hollywood and what we bring to the table in terms of television is what those people out there want to see. Now, the viewers of this program want to see this program, okay?
Yeah, but what about a guy laying in a fire, slowly burning, and then waking up and saying, oh, my God, oh, my God. I mean, it was horrible to see him run in there and saying, I screwed up, man.
Right. It was. But you've got to also admit one other thing. It was tremendous television. I don't want to be crude, but I know that you said that your program's for adults only.
Yes, sir.
Okay, can I say something? I literally had a tent going when I saw that.
Okay, you know, the whole tent thing.
No, but it was was arousing to me to see a television program absolutely begin to execute as well as it did.
All right, we're talking with Bob Green. He's a production TV consultant. He's written a couple of books on Survivor and last night, the guy who fell into the fire. Does the camera crew have an obligation to help that man, or do they just keep on filming?
Well, you have a choice. You have a choice, and yeah, you want to help the guy, but you also want to keep the camera going. It's one of those magic moments in broadcasting. I think what happened, even though the man may have suffered third-degree burns over his face and hands, I think it's willing to take it's okay to take the shot and get the good footage. Look at Vic Morrow. Let's go back to Twilight Zone. That was absolutely fantastic.
What was Vic Morrow from the Twilight Zone?
The fact that I'm sad that he's dead, but Vic Morrow was that was selfless of him to go out into that lake, to put himself at risk. Yes, he got decapitated. Yes, two children died. But what a movie, huh?
And I got to tell you something, if you don't mind, Bob. Twilight Zone was a pile of crap. I thought Twilight Zone was okay.
You want to have made a whole lot of nines. You know what that is? That's a lot of money at the box office. And you say it's a pile of crap.
I thought Twilight Zone sucked. Yeah, and I thought what they did to Vic Morrow in the shooting of that, I don't know whether all the questions have been answered, and I think to say that he was selfless...
But it added a couple of million at the box office. Vic Morrow took one for the team. That stuntman that got run over by a chariot took one for the team, and Ben-Hur. This guy last night on Survivor fell into a... What are you asking me that they do?
I'm saying that the camera crew stopped filming for a while and put the guy... Get him out of the fire. If that was the case, and I don't know.
All right, so in other words, all of the actors that didn't mind, when Vic Morrow got killed by the helicopter, you're telling me, I'm sure he minded, but we don't know whether he minded or not.
I bet you I could safely assume that Vic Morrow minds being dead. Okay?
Well, it's been 18 years, and I don't know that we can judge.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. What is he talking about? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Last night's Survivor showed one of the contestants falling into a fire, then coming to and going into the river. And all I'm asking, I don't know what the camera crew did on that shot, whether they helped him or not. I'm just saying, rather than film this poor man falling in the fire, don't they have an obligation to help him? And that's what I'm saying, Bob.
I don't think so.
You're telling me that a camera crew...
On any TV program, there's an old saying, Phil, in Hollywood, keep shooting. Keep shooting. Brandon Lee in the movie Crow, he took one for the team.
What happened to him?
He basically, I think he walked into a snowplow or something. It was horrible, but it was good. And that's all I can say. It's horrible, but it's interesting.
And so in the world of Hollywood, in the world of television, in the world of film, keep shooting.
Keep shooting. And I know that it's difficult for you and you and your listeners to understand. But I can tell you something. You know, there's a guy named Don Sewell. He was a great actor. And on one of the episodes of Laugh Last, which was a 70s action movie, he fell out of an airplane onto a concrete runway. It killed him, but I've seen the footage. And it is some of the most exciting television that you have.
You're looking at footage of this man falling out of an airplane.
Yeah, but I can tell you that it added an element of realism. And I'm sure that if Dean were here today, if Don were here today, and was not in the VA hospital, because right now he can't hear or see anything, but if he could, he'd say, thank you. Thank you for making me a star. What about Shep?
All right, that's a hard one for me to grasp, man.
Well, you got to be in Hollywood, and you got to work in Hollywood. You don't. You're in radio, and your listeners don't. I do. I know.
All right, Bob, hold on for a minute. Bob Green, he's admittedly an expert on television. He says that if a guy falls into a fire like that dude did on Survivor last night, camera crew has the obligation to keep shooting. They'll pull him out of the fire after they get the shot. I just think that if somebody is risking terrible injury, that you put the camera down, you go over, you pick the guy up, and you sit him down. Or am I wrong? And what does he mean this guy Don Sewell fell out of an airplane onto a concrete runway and it made for some of the most exciting footage he's ever seen? All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show with Bob Green, a production consultant, TV consultant for a variety of television shows. He's written a couple of books on television. We're talking about last night's Survivor and this guy falling in the fire while the camera crews kept it rolling. And you're saying they didn't do anything wrong, basically.
I'm saying, Phil, that
What if the guy was drowning?
I'm sorry?
What if the man was drowning and needed someone to throw him a life preserver?
Yeah, that's very compelling television. There's no doubt about it. And while I do not condone Faces of Death or any of those tapes, I would say that, you know, you got to be lucky if you can catch something like that for live TV.
Now, what if the guy is drowning? You hear what I'm asking?
I don't understand.
What if the man is drowning that you're filming, and the camera crew can put their cameras down and throw the life preserver to him?
Uh-huh.
What would you have them do?
I don't understand. I don't understand what you're at.
I'm asking, put the camera down, throw the man a life preserver.
Any cameraman that did that worked for me would be fired, because they've got one rule in life: get the shot.
And be fired while a man drowns.
The production budgets that most television programs have allow for funerals and things like that in case a stuntman...
Allow for funerals. So you guys have budget for funerals in case a stuntman gets run over, but you don't have the rule that says put the camera down and help.
I don't understand.
You don't... All right. You know what? I'm gonna take a phone call.
I mean, I'm trying to understand you, Phil.
I'm going to take a phone call. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Les on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, this guy is just insane. This is just completely ridiculous. He's right. He's from Hollywood, and maybe we don't understand Hollywood, but I think it's so typical of the way the entire, you know, that whole scene
you
is
watch,
out there.
You watch television, don't you?
I do watch television.
Right, well,
I watched the show last night, and I'm telling you,
I'm the guy
if that guy's
say...
lying in a fire, if he's lying there cooking in a fire, and they don't help him, that's wrong.
Wait a minute.
It's wrong. It should be illegal. It is illegal in a lot of places.
I'm the guy that gives you your entertainment.
You don't give me my entertainment.
I'm in the television business. Without me, what are you doing what are you doing after you get home from work?
I can do anything I want, but I tell you what, I may watch television, but I tell you what, how about this? How about great television would be to castrate you on public television?
Oh, see?
And maybe that'll be a great show.
Is that interesting?
Is that fun? Is that cool?
Well, you're talking about me being castrated?
Why not?
I'm a television executive.
Oh, so it's okay for a stuntman, or it's okay for this guy on the show.
That's their training, yeah.
Talking about castrating you, Mr. Green, for some of the comp...
No, you don't do that to a TV executive. You find a stuntman...
Scumbag!
You find a stuntman to do that, or an actor who's willing to have that done.
You think that guy was willing to lie around in that fire so that you could get the shot, as you say, the most important thing in your life?
I think when you are on television for the first time in your life, your name's Les?
Yeah.
Les, I put you in front of a camera, and the experience is so thrilling, you take your pants off and sit in a beehive.
You know what? I guarantee I wouldn't do that, because I don't need that kind of thrill, number one. But that's not even what we're talking about.
We had a guy do that.
It isn't whether or not the guy was willing to be on the show. He obviously is willing to be on the show. But you're saying that anything goes and that a cameraman is just supposed to sit there and do nothing while somebody gets burned. You're saying
That's my point that I'm trying to make here, Les, with you, Bob. While a man is in serious jeopardy...
come on. That guy cooking in the fire was one of the most magic moments in television history. Now, look.
So what? So what? Hey, how about this? You say that when we bring up these kids in that Twilight Zone thing, that was one of the most horrible.
Oh my God! No kidding. What are you
talking
about? And the comment
and
you made about
they made a lot of money. As long as they make money, that's great. How many kids would it be okay to die? And how much is it worth for each kid to die?
Are you an actor?
How much money is it worth?
Are you an actor?
No.
All right. You don't know how Vic Morrow felt about that.
He's dead. How do you think he feels about it?
How do you know how he feels about it? How do those little kids' parents feel about it? Are they all excited about all the money that movie made?
The movie made a nice piece of change. I don't know what you're asking me.
They lost their children, okay?
Those kids' parents, whose kids died, you think they're all excited about how much money Twilight Zone made?
Yes, I do.
Well,
you think that is more important than their kids?
Yes.
Well, you know what? You couldn't possibly have any kids, all right? For you to feel that way, that somebody is excited about how much money a movie grosses as opposed to the death of their kids.
Phil, I'm in the business of entertaining people. And one great thing, one of the best things you can see, we had a guy on one of our action shows. He took his pants off and he willingly sat in a beehive. It was great.
It was great. For who was it great?
It was great television.
Okay, well, if
that's what I'm asking Les to consider.
All right.
If some idiot chooses
I want you to consider that, Les.
It's an idiotic choice, and I don't care how much money. Thank you very much, Les. How much money you pay a guy? Susan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, this is Susan.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes,
I've worked on 20 television shows. I think I know what I'm doing.
The guy who put himself in the fire on the Survivor show last night.
Exactly.
And I did not see that, but I know that from experience, whenever I've seen shows like that before, I immediately just keep going. I just go right past. I don't even care to watch things like that. It just it makes me sad to see people getting hurt like that. It doesn't thrill me at all. And I think that
you didn't see Radio Car last season, did you?
No, I did not.
You may not like this, but Shemp Hauser, who's a terrific, Neil Wharton's a great actor, plays Shemp Hauser on Radio Car. He was electrocuted on the set answering the phone in one of the episodes. Now, he's lost all the hearing in the left side of his head. But if you saw that episode, and your name is Susan, right?
Yes.
I don't think you'd ever not watch TV again. That's how good it was.
I do watch television. I just don't watch shows that.
All right, so you're not a big.
I don't watch shows that you're not a big reality television fan.
People getting hurt. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh come on, most women cream up when a guy falls in a fire.
Okay, you don't have to go there. All right.
You tell me that they don't lather up.
Just don't forget about when a guy goes in a fire. What women do. Julie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Julie? Oh, we just lost our car phone. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Tammy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
This guy's an idiot.
You know, I didn't call you a dame, Tammy.
No, listen. I won't talk to her unless she apologizes.
Unless she apologizes.
What?
I won't talk to her unless she apologizes for that.
Okay, I apologize for calling you that.
Good.
The other guy called you insane.
Good girl.
But listen, your role as a human being comes before...
And get a new phone, will you?
...your role as a cameraman.
And buy a new phone.
I'm sorry?
Huh?
Okay, Tammy, back away from your phone. You're breaking up. You're distorting.
Sorry.
Tammy, I'm a TV producer. I know what makes people watch television.
You think people want to watch a guy burn in a fire?
Burn alive?
I would much rather watch a cameraman drop his camera and save a man burning in a fire.
Oh, that's really
exciting. That is much more dramatic television.
Tammy, back away from your phone here. You're breaking up.
See, Tammy, you don't take direction very well. Back off of the phone.
I'm backing off from the phone.
All right, look. It's much more exciting to see a guy slowly cook in an open forest fire than
that's
to have...
Wait a minute. That's not entertainment.
Yes, it is entertaining. It may
to
be,
who?
It may be against the law.
Who wants to watch a guy burn in a fire?
Just about everybody who watches Survivor.
I think it's more reality television if a guy... They know that a cameraman dropped his camera to save the guy.
No, that's why I work in TV and you don't. Go watch Teletubbies. Have yourself a good time.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. I think that this man's point is very clear, that he thinks anything goes on television. Now, last night, the guy on TV who, Michael, fell in the fire and burned himself, the good news is that he's recovered from his injuries. But the bad news, possibly, is that these guys will shoot anything. Anything. When possibly, and I'm not saying that they didn't, but possibly they could have rendered assistance a little bit sooner. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the Phil Henry Show. We're doing a little bit of a postmortem on last night's Survivor, where Michael, who is a software publisher, passed out from the smoke, fell into the campfire, got fairly severely burned, and if that's such a thing as being fairly severely, but he got severely burned, and then he ran into the water to put the fire out. As you know, these shows are taped, and apparently he's okay. Except for some redness and minor scarring, he's completely healed. Minor scarring. I mean,
Well, Phil, right there, it was minor scarring, so the guy was fine. And you know, one of these things...
Well, what do you call minor scarring, okay?
The guy's okay. And one of the things that I would hope that he doesn't do is sue CBS, because I think that that would be wrong. I think it would be morally wrong for that man to sue CBS just because they taped him falling into a fire and didn't help him.
1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene is my guest, and he is a TV production consultant, and we're talking to him about last night's Survivor show. Here is Stephen on the Phil Henry Show.
Also, Phil, I'm tired of hearing these non-professionals telling me how inhumane this is. Good Samaritans don't get good ratings.
That's really great. There's nothing to do with that. You're talking about people wanting to see other people being maimed. I would imagine in your mind that the Holocaust would have made for great TV.
The Holocaust would have made... I think that is absolutely disgusting that you would say something like that.
Oh, I think everything I've heard you say is absolutely disgusting.
Getting hurt and maimed
does not make for good TV. That's sick.
You're saying that the Holocaust...
This guy willingly went on the show, and he took his risks, and I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that.
That's right.
But a guy being electrocuted on a set, somebody falling out of an airplane, that does not make for great TV. Vic Morrow being killed, if you think that was a stellar moment in movie history, you're sick.
So you're going to tell me the scene in Ben-Hur where the stuntman gets run over by a chariot doesn't give you a chubby?
No, sir, it does not.
What do you mean, give him a chubby? I'd like that kind of language, okay?
Well, what is he talking about?
I thought I was pretty clear on it. What don't you understand?
I think
you are excited by things that are sick.
You're telling me that Brandon Lee getting nailed by a snowplow...
He didn't get nailed by a slow plow. He was shot with a stunt gun that inadvertently was loaded with real bullets.
And then
he was killed.
I thought he was pushed in front of a snow plow.
No, he was not. And that was tragic. It was tragic. It wasn't entertaining.
Don't you wish you could have seen that?
No,
I have no desire to see it.
You don't have any desire. Have you ever seen Faces of Death? It's really cool.
Sick.
It's a sick, twisted show. This kind of preoccupation with the horrific, morose, and macabre aspects of life
makes for good ratings.
All right, maybe it does make for good.
I mean, are you two guys going to sit there and tell me
if you're talking about it from good ratings because it appeals to a lot of sick individuals? That's one thing, but to say that the majority of us are entertained by it and it's a wonderful thing, you are greatly mistaken.
And your
whole look on this, from everything I've heard you say tonight, is sick.
About 3 years ago, a guy was accidentally disemboweled by a farming combine on, I think it was, Funniest Home Videos. Now, why would they let that on? What's the show where you send in the video?
America.
That's the show.
Did you see the guy get decapitated by the combine?
No. Don't really have any desire to.
On America's Funniest Home.
Things, and while they are on some remote end strangely fascinating,
you didn't see
they are not entertaining.
But you didn't see Neil Wharton get electrocuted when he picked up that phone, so you don't know how cool it was.
No, and I didn't see my father's autopsy either. I wouldn't want to.
What happened to him?
Somebody shot him to death, and I wouldn't want to see that on television.
You don't happen to have the video?
Okay. You know what? Thank you very much, Stephen, for your phone call. What are you saying?
I was going to negotiate for the rights to his father's...
I don't want to hear about you doing any of that on my program.
Some people don't even realize, Phil, that Steve Buscemi actually put his own legs in the wood chipper to make Fargo look more realistic. That's dedication. And that was
that was his leg sticking out of the wood chipper.
Yes, sir, it was. Yes, sir, it was.
Well, how is he with us today?
It wasn't a real wood chipper, was it? He did Trees Lounge, hello, and he did Armageddon. So obviously he didn't get fed into a wood chipper.
Well, what are you talking about then, man?
They stuck him up there, his leg went up, and then they had a wood chipper sound. I don't know how they did it. It's great. I love Hollywood. But I'm telling you...
Well, just look at... All right, I'm going to take a phone call here, and...
Well, the problem with you and a lot of your listeners is you're getting flustered, Phil.
Yes, sir, I am getting flustered.
And the reason that you're getting flustered is because you don't understand how entertainment on television and in film is executed. And we have to get the shot. We have to get the shot. 4 years ago, I was a lead cameraman on a production where a four-year-old girl, a mastiff was throwing her around a yard. And
are you telling me that a little child was injured as the result of...
No, she was fine. But it looked like the dog was going to... It got a hold of her dress and was tossing her back and forth. I made the judgment call. I said, Bob, don't help her yet because the teeth of the dog aren't in her body. It's just swinging her around by the dress.
And you risked the death of a child so you could get the shot.
She's fine. Nothing happened.
And, well, you know what? You might not have been that lucky.
You didn't see that darn Pookie.
That's where the kid got thrown around?
Right.
No, I didn't. I don't know.
Well, we tried to sell it to Disney, but...
All right. Here is here's Jamie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Jamie?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I cannot believe this man has the nerve to even say morality on your show.
Did you see that darn Pookie? Yes or no?
Morality... Do you know what kind of reaction the child would have? She could be scarred for life just from the terror of that.
And
you talk morality, you have no morals and you have no ethics.
The dog didn't... You watch
any
TV.
Kind of person that would have any morals or ethics wouldn't be talking like you are, and that's what's wrong with
the
whole
the
world
problem.
Today.
People like you want to see that kind of television, so
no,
I'm just
sir,
I'm
I
producing
don't.
It for you,
I
man.
Deal with enough...
And in the
crap throughout the day
life,
without having to deal with people like you.
What kind
your
of job
squat
you have?
Is causing the world to be the way it is.
And when you get home at
kids
night, you
watching
put the TV
like
on
this?
To have yourself a little relaxation.
No, sir.
Scarring, by the way, is what we're banking on. It makes the show memorable.
No.
And the whole
your,
idea,
yours
yes,
what
yes.
is turning the kids into what
TV
they
show?
Are today. So.
What's your TV? What's the
juvenile
favorite TV
delinquent.
Show, okay? What's your favorite TV show?
I
you
don't
bore
watch
me.
TV
unless
yeah,
I know.
Disney
you don't watch
with
TV.
My child.
You probably listen to talk radio. What up, bore?
Okay,
yeah,
man. It
I
happens
sure
to be
do.
What I do for a living, all right? So here is... I'm not going to take any more phone calls.
Well, wait a second. You promised me 45 minutes on your show.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't talk to you about this stuff. And what do you mean, that darn Pookie?
It won a Cable Ace Award. When that kid was being thrown all over the place.
Yeah, that's real good, man. Good luck for you and all of the people you're doing business with. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show with a special visit today in our studio from Chris Lyne from WAEB in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and his friend Robin is with us, and they brought us what looks to be a case or a couple of cases of Yuengling beer. Yuengling beer, America's oldest brewery, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And I'm telling you right now, this looks like it's going to be sweet going down, tasting almost as good coming back up later on tonight, huh? Do you want me to pop this beer? You want me to get wasted on the air again? I've done that twice. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book, guys getting juiced on the air. And now what I'd like to do is show you the effects of alcohol so that you don't drink and drive. I'll get just rat-assed on the air. And then they wind and they drink a vodka, you know, like a couple of vodka gimlets, and they start drinking on the radio. And the guy's bombed, and he's you know, he's acting like one of your friends, and that's supposed to remind me not to drink and drive. What that does for me is I'm going to stop and get a brew. Yeah, right. All right, The Sopranos are on Sunday night. 30 things that you want to know about The Sopranos. Number one, The Sopranos. Get a load of this. The Sopranos was originally developed as a series for Fox in the mid-90s, but the network passed on it. And with all due respect to Fox, thank God you did, because if this show was on Fox, it would suck. And that's just the truth, and everybody listening to me knows it, including the people at Fox. They know it. Because if for no other reason, there's certain broadcast standards you have as an over-the-air network that you don't have to observe if you're a pay per, if you're a adult pay, whatever the hell you want to call HBO. It's a pay channel. Sopranos would have been known as Party of 11. You know, it just would have been really, it would have sucked. Creator David Chase, an Italian-American whose family name, De Cesar, was changed in the 1920s, was also writer-director of I'll Fly Away, Northern Exposure, and writer of The Rockford Files, Crime and Punishment. Okay, I didn't need to read that one because I didn't see any of those shows. Before playing, did you watch Northern Exposure? You remember when that was the thing? Everybody's watching Northern. Did you see Northern Exposure? No, I didn't see Northern Exposure, man. What's it about? It's about these people who live in Alaska. I don't give a crap. You want me to watch some show about a show that's up north? How about Twin Peaks? What happened to that, okay? Now, that was a freaking great show, but of course it was too good to stay on the air. Before playing hot-headed young mobster, mobster Christopher Moltisanti, actor and native New Yorker Michael Imperioli didn't know how to drive a car. When The Sopranos role called for him to drive, he took lessons and got a learner's permit. But one of the first experiences wasn't such well a hit. During one take, Jimmy Gandolfini and I were backing up from having just finished beating somebody up, Imperioli told EW.com last week, and I veered off and hit a tree, smashing the Lexus. Michael Imperioli, I don't know if you know that, he played Spider in Goodfellas. Did you see that? And in Goodfellas, he's shot in the foot by Joe Pesci, and eventually he's shot and killed by Joe Pesci. And in one of the episodes last season, or was it one of the first season episodes, I forget which, Michael, or Christopher, shoots a bakery guy in the foot. And the guy is saying the exact line that he said in Goodfellas, "You shot me in the foot!" And he says, "Well, it happens." So that was something that maybe you didn't need to know either. All right. The address for Tony Soprano's New Jersey home, 6633 Stag Trail Road, North Caldwell, New Jersey, is a fake, but the house itself is real and is the same is in the same neighborhood as the residence of a Unabomber victim. Maybe I ought to have this beer. Would you mind? A Unabomber victim. These fake phone numbers, they used to give out fake phone numbers in movies and TV. Then you'll notice now it's, what's your number? 555-3232. There's a reason why they do that. Because there are people watching these movies, there are people watching these television shows that are so absolutely devoid of any semblance of a life, that are so completely without anything to do with their life, that when they hear a phone number on television or in the film, they call it. They actually go home, write the number down, and call it to see whose number it is. And the nuisance that it was causing the individuals who really had those numbers was such that they finally decided to just go with the 555 thing. So that's, I would say, the big moment of suspending your belief in any television or radio show, or television show for that matter, or movie. It's when the guy gives the 555 number. During the time FBI investigators had several reputed New York area mobsters under surveillance in 1999, they recorded the suspects having a conversation about whether or not certain Soprano characters were modeled after them. Check out APBnews.com for the complete transcript of these mobsters talking about the Sopranos and whether these characters are modeled after them. David Chase asked Steven Van Zandt, the bandana-wearing guitar player for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, to make his acting debut playing the role of Silvo Dante after years of seeing his face on the Boss's albums. "His look is the essence of New Jersey," says Chase. Van Zandt wears a black wig for the show. Really? I thought that was his real hair. You gotta hope and pray that's a wig. Do I want some water? Yeah. That processed pompadour that Silvio, or whatever the hell his name is, wears, is that can't be anybody's real hair. As a matter of fact, they modeled his hair after the Bob's Big Boy dummy that stands out in front of the thing. During a first season episode, Moltisanti flies into During a first season episode, Maltasanti flies into a rage and shoots the foot of a bakery worker. He feels, already told you that, okay. Imperioli, by the way, was co-writer, executive producer, and co-star of Spike Lee's 1999 Summer of Sam and wrote the second season Sopranos episode From Where to Eternity. Good. Anybody see Summer of Sam? It's okay. It's fine. It's really all right. It's pretty good. William Patterson University in New Jersey and city officials in Essex County, New Jersey, have banned The Sopranos from filming in public locations, alleging the show perpetuates negative stereotypes of Italian Americans. Let's talk about that for a minute, if we might. Negative stereotypes of Italian Americans. Now, that's a valid criticism. It's also equally valid to do films and to write stories about La Cosa Nostra, the mafia, the syndicate, however you want to say it. It's also equally valid to be historically accurate and indicate that these organizations were formed around certain ethnic tie and certain ethnic traditions. So I'll go back to the original question. How can you do a movie about the mafia and not negatively portray Italian Americans? And when are Italian Americans finally going to recognize that what they're actually asking is a form of fascist censorship, not sensitivity, about the 20 or 40 or 50 or 100 million who are law-abiding? There is one Sopranos episode where they toast the 40 million law-abiding Italian Americans. You remember that, where they're around the table with Dr. Melfi and her family? They try to make the point. You can't do a movie about the mafia without having Italians in it. You can't do it. So we're left with one choice. Take them all off the air. We won't film any more than you could do a movie, for instance, about the plight of urban America and not at least have one black face in it. It always amazes me to see the efforts they make to integrate a lot of situations. Remember White Shadow? Where the guy is down in South Central, and they had like two white guys on the team because, of course, there ain't no white kids going to school down there as far as I know. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. You're telling me that, all right, other than Mike Schaefer, there were no white kids. All right, finally, David Chase disagrees with charges that the show romances mob life and the violent mobsters themselves. The hope is you don't lose yourself thinking these people are cuddly teddy bears, says Chase, who allegedly interviewed real-life gangsters while writing the show. You see other parts of them, that they are human, full of foibles, even sweetness, and that they're very brutal men. I think that's very true. Remember when they were doing shots of tequila with Pussy before they shot him? That was a very sweet moment, wasn't it? I thought it was very sweet the way they tied him up in that bag and then put chains on him and then very sweetly dumped him in the... Well, what are you going to do? When you come away from watching The Sopranos, do you think these are real people with real problems and maybe we ought to maybe not wiretap them as much and just leave them alone? I do. I just leave them alone, okay? Let these guys look at. They're not leaving their bodies in the street like some of these other gangsters. They put them away in a bag with chains and things, and it's very clean. Very, very tasteful the way they murder people.